95BT Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi. This is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to the Lord God Almighty, and praise and honor to his name. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father, once again, for this precious opportunity, my Father, that me and all your children under the sound of my voice, Father, that enter into your gates with thanksgiving, enter into your courts with praise, enter into this radio broadcast, our church service, our prayer groups, Lord, our service to you, enter into all of that, Father, through thanksgiving and praise, and all the way, Father, past that, not just past that, but through that, and past that, all the way into your literal presence, my Father, where it all begun. It all begun, Father, in your presence. Hallelujah. For you created us, Father, and from you came us, Father, and you live in heaven, my Father. That's your dwelling place, Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, my Father. So hallelujah. So you have summoned us, Father, to come through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the holy place, all the way back into your literal presence once again where it all begun, Father. We begun in your presence, my Father God. We got separated from your presence, but through your grace and your mercy and your love that you showed for us when we were separated through your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he came to do for us, Father, his death, burial, resurrection, all was a means to one end, my Father, and that was to get us back into your very presence, my Father. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. And not only have you made the way for us to come back into your presence where it all begun, you have pointed unto every last one of us that golden scepter of righteousness, which means that, Lord, you are summoning us and you are telling us that we can come boldly. Why? Because our sins is washed in the blood of the Lamb, and we have been declared righteous and holy, my Father. And as a result of that, Lord, we can come boldly to your throne of grace, Father, and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So right now in this hour, not only in this hour, but in every hour of the day, every moment of the day, Father, our desire is to dwell in that secret place of the Most High God, Father. So we take you up on that invitation. Here we are, Father, in your presence. Now, you speak to our hearts and our minds and our souls, Father, and our spirits, Father, so that, Lord, you can complete that which you have begun in us. For you said in your word, you who have begun a good work on the inside of us, you're going to complete it, Father. So here we are, Father. Finish that work, Father, that's already finished. Complete it and bring it into consummation. Everything, Lord, that you intended from the very beginning your desire from the very beginning, your purpose from the very beginning for all our lives. And that's this, Father. You said it in your word, that we would be in your image and in your likeness, your character, your nature, functioning like you, living like you, talking like you, walking like you, acting like you, being just like you, my Father God. So here we are, Father. Now build us up, Father, and fill us not only with the knowledge of that will, Father, but the understanding of it, Father, and the ability to apply that knowledge to our everyday life, Father, so that we can continue to walk in the reality of what it means to be the sons and daughters and the offspring of the Most High God. And Father, we'll be careful as in always to make sure that we give you all of the credit, all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. In Jesus' name that we pray, and so shall it be. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, out there in the radio land under the sound of my voice. I'm going to say it again. Hey, mighty men and mighty women. How come you always say that, Brother Arthur? Because, boy, I discovered something in the Word of God, boy, that's who we really are. We're just not men and women of God, but we mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. That means with all might and with all power. Where that might and where that power come from? You got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. Yeah, I'm mighty as he. How powerful is he? He almighty and he all power. That's the essence of God. That's the spirit of God. That's all that God is. And our God is a mighty God. And he's standing in the congregation of the mighty. And he judges amongst the gods. And you say, boy, and you know what that say in that passage of scripture? It say, man, that we are little gods. Not the almighty God. But little, if we offspring from God, then we got the same character and nature of God. So we are little gods too. Now, that's a capital G. That's almighty God himself. And then there's the little g. That's the little offspring of God. Little g God. You know, hallelujah. What that is, that's the offspring of God. And boy, I'm talking about, boy, the more you hear that, what, you know why I always say that? Because I want that to get past our intellect and get down to our spirit. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's the word of God that says you are a mighty man and a mighty woman. It's the word of God that says you are little God, little offspring of God. It's the word of God that said, boy, as he is, so are we. It's the word of God that said, boy, we can do all things through him who strengthens us and empowers us and give us that ability to live in that way. That's what the word says. And boy, the more you hear about who you are, you know why you got so much faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because, boy, you've been hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing all about Jesus and everything that he did and everything else. So you got faith in that. Hallelujah. But, boy, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ come preaching to boy an awesome message. He didn't listen. In fact, he wasn't preaching about himself. He was preaching about you and I. To let us know, boy, that as he is, so are we. The work that he did, so can we. And just like the Father sent him, that's the same way he sent us. So we're supposed to be doing the same thing Jesus was doing. But this reason was he sent, the Bible say. The Bible, Jesus said, man, in Luke chapter 4, verse 42, boy, they wanted him to stay where they were. They didn't want him to go nowhere. Just stay right here among us. But Jesus said, listen, I must go to other territories, to other cities as well, and preach the gospel of the kingdom to other cities and other towns and other territories as well. Why? Because that is why I was sent. What? To go preach this good news, man, about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. What's the good news about it? That's your inheritance, and that belongs to you. You lost it in Adam, but I come to restore it back to you. I'm the second Adam. The first Adam messed up everything. The second Adam came and blessed up everything. Glory to God. And boy, that's what Jesus Christ told his disciples to go and preach in Matthew 10. He said, hey, listen, don't go to the Gentile because you really ain't ready for that yet. Go to the lost sheep of Israel and preach this message, boy, the gospel of the kingdom. And cast out devils and heal the sick. And boy, they followed the simple instruction. What? They went and preached that message. Hallelujah. We might told them this message because they had a whole lot of other messages too. And I don't ever want to give the wrong impression that the other messages is not right. They all the word of God too. They all good too. They all gospel too. But there's a specific gospel that Jesus Christ said, go and preach, man. What? This gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Listen, when you preach the gospel of the kingdom first, then all the other gospel that we preach is incorporated in it. You know what the Bible say in Acts chapter, last chapter of Acts? But first it says in the first chapter of Acts, in the first three verses, it says Jesus appeared unto them, man, with infallible proof, and he preached unto them the kingdom of God. That's after his resurrection. When he began his ministry, he was preaching the kingdom of God. All through his ministry, he was preaching the kingdom of God. At the end of his ministry, he was preaching the kingdom of God. Even after his death and burial and resurrection, he's still preaching the kingdom of God. That's in the first three verses in the book of Acts. In the last chapter, in the first chapter of the book of Acts, in the last chapter of the book of Acts, it tells about, man, what the Apostle Paul was preaching. And the Bible say, boy, in the last chapter of the book of Acts, it say Paul, in the last three verses, it say Paul stayed in his high house for 3 years or 2 years or however many it was. I don't remember exactly. But he said, and he preached unto them the kingdom of God, and he taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, what he preached. He preached the kingdom of God, and he taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it in that order. He preached the kingdom of God first, and then he taught them all about the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not careful, boy, we'd be preoccupied with the religious church, and we preach, man, all about Jesus Christ, and don't never preach nothing about the kingdom. That's why the church don't know nothing about the kingdom. That's why the church don't know the gospel of the kingdom, because we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, listen, let me put some warning on that. I never want you to get the impression that I say, man, we're not supposed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell all about who Jesus is and what he did. But we got to get our priorities in line. Paul said, I preach the kingdom of God, and I teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. To preach means to publicly declare a message. To teach means to instruct for change. So we preach the proper way of doing it as ministers of the gospel and believers of the gospel and the word of God and as saved people, is to go tell man the world about the kingdom, the good news about this kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And boy, and then teach them, man, all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when Jesus was doing his ministry, man, he never preached, man, his death and his burial and his resurrection, man, to the multitude. He taught that to the disciples. Hallelujah. When he preached to the multitudes out there, he preached the kingdom of God, and he cast out devils, and he healed the sick, and he raised the dead. And boy, that piqued their interest then. Then they wanted to know about this Jesus. Who is this? That's why old boy, what his name was, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus heard all the message that he was preaching about the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus tied a lantern around his waist, man, 2 o'clock in the morning, pitch black dark. He said, I got to go find this man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And boy, when he found him, hallelujah. What you saying, boy? Let me tell you something. He heard the gospel of the kingdom, and he went looking for Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Why Jesus did that first? Because Jesus knows that that's what everybody is looking for. Everything that everybody is looking for, everything that mankind is looking for is, boy, in that place. What place is there? In the secret place of the Most High God. What that secret place of the Most High God? Under the shadow of the Almighty. What's under the shadow of the Almighty? Back in the kingdom of God. Back in the Garden of Eden. Before Adam and Eve them ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Can you imagine, boy, how they was living then? Before they ate off the knowledge of the good and evil, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Can you imagine what kind of life they were living in there? Unbroken fellowship. Walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. Good God Almighty. Well, our eyes ain't seen, our ears ain't heard. We can't even begin to fathom, man. She held up by shut down my stomach. Somebody say, what are you saying? I say, boy, it ain't entered into our heart. And we ain't even, man, we just not coming to the knowledge of this gospel of the kingdom, that we can come back into the secret place of the Most High God and come back into the presence of the Most High God and dwell there. I ain't say visit there. Ain't that might just go that man just when we go to church on Sundays and feel that little feeling that we feel in our emotions and everything else. I'm talking about the way up there, 24/7. Well, in the presence of the Lord. How you get to that knowledge? And how do you get to that information? And how you get faith in that we can do that, boy, when you start hearing the gospel of the kingdom? When you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us, that's the means to that place. But if you man just preach the means to the place and don't never know what the place is, then all you'll be is preoccupied with the means and never get to the place. What's the place? The kingdom of heaven. To that place. And if you just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you'll be preparing people, man, to go to that place. When Jesus Christ comes preaching, man, that place has come to us. Glory to God. He come to bring that place back to us the way it was from the beginning and in the beginning. Because that's where Adam and Eve was, man, in the beginning. They was in that place. Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven on earth. I say this all the time. We know it as the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is the kingdom of heaven on earth. The environment and the atmosphere of that place. On the earth, on a spot on the earth. With an open door into a delightful place. What delightful place? The presence of the Lord. And boy, that's what God wants more than anything else, boy. Is for you and I, man, to come back into that place. And the only way you can have faith and confidence that that place is available to you is if you hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. Why? Because that's how faith in that place comes. And, man, listen, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because everything that you're going to get from God is going to be through that vein, through that avenue, through that means, what? Exercising faith in the promises and the word of God. Exercising faith in, first and foremost, our Father in heaven, and exercising faith, man, in what he said. And listen, what he said from the beginning, when he said, let's make mankind just like us. And let them have dominion over all the earth. And let them be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the whole earth. That little part right there, I mean, let them make the whole earth just like this little atmosphere. Let them make the atmosphere over the whole earth just like this little atmosphere that I placed them in here on this spot on the earth for the moment with an open door into my presence. What do you call that? The Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve got put out of that place because of their disobedience. And because of Jesus Christ's obedience, you and I can come back into that place and start living, man, your Christian life from that place. Otherwise, you'll be living your Christian life from the wilderness, trying to get to that place. When everything that Jesus Christ done on the cross, man, was to provide, man, an open door for you to come to that place. Listen, when they got put out of that place, God put the angel there with flaming sword to keep them out of that place. But boy, when Jesus Christ came and did what he did, them angels with them flaming swords to keep mankind out of the presence of the Lord, out of the Garden of Eden, they gone. Ain't no angels there no more. It's a door. That's why Jesus Christ say, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the door to that place. What the door is, a door is a means for entering from one dominion to another one. So ain't no more angels there with flaming swords to keep you out of the place because of your disobedience. That's been taken care of. That was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was for. So they bore them flaming angels with them swords to keep us out of the presence of the Lord so that they could go on back up to heaven, man. And now it's been replaced with a door. And that door is Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, that door don't have no lock on it. Glory to God. It's open 24/7. And all you got to do is come to the knowledge of it and then come on through the door. Hallelujah. Into that place. That secret place of the Most High God, where you can abide under the shadow of the Almighty and say of the Lord that he's our refuge and our strength and our God. And it don't matter what come up on the earth, the pestilence and all that other stuff and everything else, you won't have to worry about none of that. Why? Because you're under the shadow of the Almighty. You're under the protection of the Almighty. And then you can say of the Lord that everything is all right. I remember my mother asked me a long, long time ago, how would you feel if you knew that everything was all right? And boy, it was like the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart, asking me the same question. In other words, God was asking me that question through her. And I say, Lord, I can't even fathom. All I know is, I mean, Lord, I don't even have the words to describe how I would feel. And then he said, well, feel that way then. I say, how, Lord? Because, man, you can come back into that place where you can feel that way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How can you feel all right, man? You got to. How can you feel that way? You got to know that everything is all right. How do you get to the place where you can know that everything is all right? When, boy, you hear this gospel of the kingdom. Glory to God. Because in the kingdom of heaven, ain't everything all right? In the kingdom of heaven, you don't have to worry about nothing. Everything that you want in life, everything that you're seeking in life, everything that you desire in life, it's in that place. That's why God, man, is in Jesus Christ was so interested in you getting into that place, because he know, boy, that everything that you're doing in life is, man, in hope that, man, you, right, man, be found a utopia, a perfect life, a perfect world, a perfect environment, a perfect atmosphere. Hey, listen, that utopia, man, is the kingdom of heaven. And the good news about that utopia is it was once here upon this earth, and then in Adam we lost it, but in Jesus Christ, man, it can be rediscovered, and you and I can once again enter back into that place. That's why he told them about that place first, and then he told them about the door. Because the only way to get into that place is through the door. It's through Jesus Christ. So not only do we need to know, man, the gospel of the kingdom, but we need to know, boy, about, man, the way to the gospel of the kingdom. That's why Paul said, I preach the kingdom of God to you, the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel that's available to you? And then I teach you, man, about the door, the way into it. Why? Because when I preach it to you and let you know what it is, then you're going to have a desire to come to that place. Just like Nicodemus would. Nicodemus said, I got to find out, man, from this master, this rabbi here, how you get into that place. That's why Nicodemus' question was, Lord, how you get into this place? And Jesus told him, man, listen, man, you're a teacher, you don't know, man, how to become a citizen of a place? Hey, come on, man, you're supposed to know that the same way you become a citizen of the United States. You got to be born here. If you're born here, then you're automatically a citizen of the United States. So, man, Nicodemus asking Jesus, man, how you get into this place? See, you can tell what Nicodemus asking by what Jesus told him. Nicodemus say, Lord, how do you enter into the kingdom? And Jesus say, unless a man be born again, he cannot, man, see the kingdom of God. And except he be born of the Spirit and of the water, he cannot enter into it. Hallelujah. See, to see it, and to begin to understand it, then you got to get saved. And then after you get saved, then you got to be born of the Spirit and the water. Now you got to grow up. You got to receive the end of your salvation, which is the salvation of your soul. Listen, when you get saved, the only thing that happens is, man, you've been born again. When you're getting saved, it's just like, man, being born into the world. You're just a little bitty baby when you get saved. Babies don't know how to walk. They don't know how to talk. They don't know. They can't even hold their own Bible. Hallelujah. They got to grow up, man, and learn how to crawl and learn how to walk and learn how to eat and learn how. That's a process. That's a development process. It's the same way, man. Most believers are just, man, born again, little bitty babies. They don't know how to walk like God wants to walk, talk like God wants to talk, act like God wants to act. Why? Because we still on the sincere milk of the word. And, man, as long as you're just on the milk of the word, then you're going to be a little malnutrition, hallelujah. If you just feed a baby nothing but milk all the time, then he can survive off of that, I imagine, but, man, he's going to be malnourished. He needs the milk at first, but he got to go on to a little parable, then a little bit stronger food, then a little bit stronger food, until, man, he can eat, man, you know, meat. But you can't give a baby meat at the beginning of his life. Same way, man, you got the man be developed. You got to grow in the kingdom of God. And the only way you can grow in the kingdom of God, you got to desire the sincere milk of the word. You get what's the food in the kingdom of God? That's in the milk and the food in the parable. That's the word of God. So, man, you got to desire that. You got to go after that. You got to know that. You got to know the truth. Hallelujah. And the truth, boy, will develop you and build you up and give you your inheritance. Among those who are sanctified, good God Almighty. That's what, boy, Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. He said, I commend you unto the word of God's grace, the milk of the word, the power of the word, the meat of the word. Why? So that you can grow. Why? So that you can get your inheritance. What? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Listen, God don't want us to be preoccupied, man, with religious rituals and traditions and ritual laws. That's all a part of the process, but, man, that ain't it. That's all means to an end. What? To get you your inheritance. What's your inheritance? The Bible say, boy, in Matthew, man, I think it's 25, 24, or 24 something. Well, you know the scripture. Come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance. All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Listen, if you tune into this broadcast, you ain't going to hear but one message. What message you going to hear, man? The gospel of the kingdom and be taught of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the kingdom and the door to the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? That's the good news that the kingdom of heaven is your inheritance. What's the door to the kingdom? That's teaching you about the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't going to be the opposite way. I ain't going to just tell you all about Jesus Christ and how he opened blind eyes and how he unstopped that deal and how he did and what he did and everything else. I'm going to tell you about the kingdom of God and that you can do that too because of Jesus Christ. Now, you can't do that in and of yourself. You can't do that without Jesus Christ. Like I say, he's the means to the end. He ain't the end. He's the means. He's the door. He's not it. He's the door to it. And if you're not careful, man, the devil will preoccupy us, man, with the door, and you never get to the it. What's the it? All of the kingdom of heaven, where everybody's trying to get to that's a believer. That's the it. Everybody trying to make it to heaven, when all the time Jesus Christ comes to bring heaven back to us. You're trying to get to a place that's already here, that it came to you. Hallelujah. Ain't no bad thing to try to want to make it to heaven. But boy, I'm talking about a greater thing. What? Jesus Christ has brought heaven to us. And then after he brought heaven to us, then he taught us all the functioning principles of heaven, how to operate in it, how to live in it, the laws that governs it, and everything else. That's what all those parables in the Bible is all about. He told them that the kingdom of heaven was available to them, and then he taught them, man, the laws that governs it, the functioning principles that governs it, how to live in it, how you're supposed to live in it, how you're supposed to act in it, how you're supposed to talk in it, how you're supposed to be in it. You can't just, man, get it and live it any kind of way. Come on now, that go without saying, man. You can't just do anything, man, and reap the benefits and enjoy all the benefits of your inheritance. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, it's not enough just to be born again, but you got to be born of the Spirit and of the water, too. You got to grow up in this kingdom of God. Otherwise, as long as a child is a little bitty baby, an heir is a little bitty baby, then he ain't no different than a servant. But he's under governor and tutor until the appointed time. He's under instruction. He's under teacher. He, listen, a baby can't grow up without, man, somebody, his parents or mom and dad, man, developing them. Same thing, you can't grow up in school and learn everything else, man, you know, unless you have a tutor or a teacher over you to help you develop your mentality and your mindset. That's why God gave, man, the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, what? To the development, man, of the little bitty Christians, man, the little bitty baby children of God, to develop them, man, to train them up, man, to help mature them, to help them come to the knowledge of the truth so that they can get their inheritance until they, to the knowledge of what truth, to the knowledge of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Not just who he is, but why he is. Not just what he did, but why he did what he did. For what, Arthur? So, man, you can know, man, man, not just, man, you know, about the door, but that you can know what's behind the door, so that you can come through the door. For what purpose, Arthur? So that you can get your inheritance. What's my inheritance again? All of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us. Listen, before the foundation of the world, that was always God's intent for us, even before he created us. That was in his mind and in his thoughts. That was his original idea. I want me a family of sons just like me, and I'm going to give them a territory. And the reason why I'm going to give them this territory is so that they can make it in the territory that I'm going to give them just like it is in the territory that they come from. Where we came from, we come from God. Our Father, which art where? In heaven. So if you come from God and he's in heaven, then you come from heaven. You didn't fall from heaven. We fell from our dimension. We were brought to earth by our Father, by our source, by our sustainer for a purpose. And that was to subdue this earth. Hallelujah. To what? The master didn't subdue mean to control. To have authority and dominion and power and influence over. For what purpose? Why he gave us that man that dominion so that we can impact this earth with the will of God? What's the will of God again, Arthur? I say this all the time on here, but no, that ought to be, listen, the will of God is that it be in our lives here on earth as it is in heaven. You've been praying it all your life in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, Lord, and thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Now give me every day my daily bread, everything that I have need of to accomplish that in my life. What? Your kingdom and your will and your desire. And what's your kingdom? What's your will? What's your desire? He already said it in Genesis chapter 1. Let's make man in our image and our likeness and let them have dominion over everything on the earth, over all the earth. Why he gave us that dominion over everything, our power, control, and influence over everything and the earth, everything that comes from the earth and the earth, is so that we could impact this earth, man, with the governing system of hell. So that we can impact this earth with the ruling authority of heaven, with the laws of heaven, with the governing system of heaven. Not just to have church on this earth, not just to preach good sermons and stir folks' emotions, but that we can impact this whole earth so that, man, we can, man, make this earth, man, the way God intended for it to be, what? On earth, just like it is in heaven. How is he going to accomplish that? Through you and I, through mankind. And how is he going to re-establish that back on the earth? Through the church. That's us believers. And why he gave us them gifts, the fivefold ministry? To develop you for your work, for your ministry, because that's your ministry. That's everybody's ministry. Everybody got a part to play in there. Well, establishing the will of God on the earth. Establishing the governing authority and the governing rule and the governing system of God on the earth. Not just to have a good church and trying to make it to heaven. Come on now. But now, boy, we ought to listen. Good God Almighty. The devil didn't duped us, man. And let me tell you something, boy. We've been deceived by the devil too long. It's time for us, man, to go, man, and come to the open the eyes of our, allow God to enlighten the eyes of our understanding and get back on course toward the destiny that God has for the church in this hour. What's that? To destroy the works of the devil. What Jesus told the disciples to do? Go preach the kingdom of God and cast out devils. And first John say, for this reason was the Son of God manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. What's the work of the devil? To keep you in darkness. To keep you ignorant to what God is doing. It don't mind you, man, you know, doing what you're doing and what you come up with and trying to get God in it. You just don't ever want us to come to the knowledge of what God is doing and us getting in on that and learning how to live that way. Here's the main thing right here, man. Listen, that's why we're living far below our rights and privileges, man. Because, man, of sin that's in our lives. I'm not just talking about, man, you know, adultery and lying or killing or done. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the original sin. What's the original sin? To rebel against the known will of God. That's what Adam and Eve did. God told them, man, he gave them liberty. He told them, you can eat off any tree in the garden, but don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you eat off that tree, you're going to surely separate yourself from me, spiritual death. So they knew the will of God. And instead of obeying the will of God, that law, then they disobeyed that law. They transgressed that law, and they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as a result of it, they found themselves separated from that place, the kingdom of heaven on earth, out there in the wilderness. What it is, and then all these other things that we're doing, man, having other gods before him, coveting, man, our brothers, committing adultery, man, stealing, lying, and all of the other commandments, man, that God, man, gave Moses, man, to let them know how they're really supposed to be living and how far below that they were living. All of those are the results of sin. Lying, stealing, committing adultery, that's not sin. That's the results of sin. That's sin. Small s, S-I-N-S, sins. And sin is the result of capital S-I-N, singular, sin, the original sin. What's the original sin? Rebelling against the known will of God. And that's what the devil is keeping us in now. That's why we're living far below our rights and privileges, because we're rebelling against the known will of God. What's the will of God, man? That, man, we live holy and righteous and without blame and covered in his love. And boy, oh Lord. That's why he say, come to his throne and obtain grace and find mercy to help us in our time of need. Well, listen, man, you know, Jesus Christ come and took care of all of that. So we can get back on course toward me and the will of God for our lives. So that we can begin to live righteous lives and holy lives. So that we could come out of lying and stealing and adultery and all these other things and live in any kind of way. Because if you're still doing that and trying to be in the kingdom of God, then, man, don't listen. You don't. Come on now. Can't live no any kind of way in the kingdom of God. You got to live holy and righteous. You got to be charting your course toward that destination. You got to be coming out of sin into righteousness. You got to be coming out of righteous living into a holy living. You got to be living in upright before God. And the only way you can do that, man, is you got to come back to the laws of God, man, and the original laws of God. That's how you destroy the works of the devil, man, by letting people know, boy, let me tell you something. Destroying the work of the devil. What's the work of the devil, boy? Separate you, man, from your Father in heaven. That's your source. And to keep you in darkness. What's darkness? Ignorance. Not knowing the will of God for your life. And for that reason was the Son of God manifested, to destroy the works of the devil. And let me tell you something, the work of the devil has been destroyed. What he came to do? Rob the kingdom of heaven from your lives. And rob the knowledge of the truth of who we really are, where we really come from, why we really here, what we really can do, and where we really going to end up at. And if he can rob the knowledge of that truth from our life, then he can keep us men living in the wilderness, going around and around and around in circles. Just like the children of Israel were doing when Moses delivered them out of the bondage of Satan, of Pharaoh and his army. Same way Jesus Christ did, come and delivered us from the bondage of Satan and all his army, all his demon cohorts. And then when he come out of there, boy, same thing that the Israelites did, same thing that the church is doing right now. Saved by going around and around and around in circles. Just like the children of Israel were. They were saved. They weren't in Egypt no more, but they were steady going around and around Mount Sinai year after year after year after year. When all the time, right across the Jordan River, was their inheritance, the promised land. In the same way the church, man, we just been going around and around and around in circles, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, prayer night after prayer night after prayer night, man. And just going around and around in circles, murmuring and complaining, man. You know, why this, that, and everything else. When all the time, man, right there at your hand is all of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I thank God that we're not in Egypt no more. But there's a going on in God, man. He don't want us to just stay. Listen, you got to go through the wilderness because you got to get rid of that Egypt mentality. That was the purpose for them going into the wilderness. They come out there where they can worship me. And man, you know, because why? Because if they worship me, he inhabits the praise and the worship of his people. So they can get accustomed, man, to being in my back in my presence now, and I'm in their presence. So they can grow in the knowledge that I'm with them wheresoever they go, and that I ain't never going to leave them, and I ain't never going to forsake them. So they could grow in the knowledge of that, man, you know, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so they could know why I called them out of Egypt, man, and out of bondage. Why? To take them in into the promised land. So that we could know the reason why God saved us, man, and redeemed our life from the curse of the law of sin and death, redeemed our life from destruction, so he could restore back to us everything that we lost in Adam's rebellion against the known will of God. What we lost? We lost our sovereignty, our dominion, our raw power, our identity. our reason, our purpose for existence. We lost all of that, man, and we begin to walk in darkness. What's darkness? Ignorance of all of that, not knowing all of that. That's why God say my people are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But God, good God Almighty, even though they wandered around in the wilderness, man, for them 40 years, even though the church been wandering around, man, out in the wilderness for the last, man, 1,800 years, man, since Jesus Christ came, hallelujah, was for such a time as this. The Bible says, who knows whether we come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So that we can learn, man, let me tell you something, boy, how to live in this kingdom, how to walk upright before God, how to talk right, how to act right, how to be right, why? So that we can, man, enjoy all the benefits of our salvation. What's the benefits of our salvation, man? Walking in the reality of what it means to be the offspring of the Most High God and walking in the reality of the purpose why God created the earth and placed us on it. Our assignment. Walking in the reality of our mandate and our assignment is to subdue this whole earth. For what purpose, Arthur? So that through our man dominion over the earth, we can influence this earth with the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? The governing influence of God over territory. Not the religious influence of God, the governing influence of God over territory. Hallelujah. So what God did, God created us in his image and his likeness, and then he gave us laws to operate by. You know, God is a God of laws. Everything that he created was designed to operate by laws. I'm going to say that again. God is a God of laws, and everything that he created it and designed it to operate by laws. Nations operate by laws. Organization and corporation operates by laws. Everybody call them bylaws and all that. Man, businesses operate by laws. Everything was designed to operate by law. Everything that God created was designed to operate by law. The kingdom, man, of God operates by laws. Governance systems. Hallelujah. And God created you and I to operate by laws. And I'm not talking about, man, you know, the Ten Commandments that he gave Moses. If we learn, man, the original laws of God and those Ten Commandments that he gave Moses, they'll be written, they'll be taken off the stony tablet and written on the tablet of our heart. And then we'll be able to do like what Jesus Christ said. He didn't come to do away with the law, but he come to fulfill the law. When we learn how to get back to the original law and start learning how to live according to that, then, man, we can establish in our heart those laws that he gave Moses. That's why Jesus said, I ain't going to do away with the law that God gave Moses. I come to show you how to fulfill them. How? By getting you back to the original law. What's the original law? That's the law of life. That's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, verse 26, and in John chapter 1. Because in those passages of scriptures, the Bible says, and God said, and God said, and God said, and everything that God said came to pass, was created. And in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him, who? The Word was life. What kind of life? Kingdom life. The God kind of life. Zoe life. Life the way God lives. And life the way God intended for us to live. Where is that? That's in the Word. So that's the first law in the kingdom. That's the primary law. What the king say, that's what goes. And I'm not talking about just what the king said to the children of God after, man, they fell. I'm talking about, man, what the king said to the children of men before they even ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You have to get back to that word because that's the word of life. Hallelujah. And that word of life in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it say, boy, for the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. Who is Christ Jesus? That's the word of God. Remember what John said in the beginning with the word? And then it say in verse 12 through 14, and the word became a man, Jesus. So the spirit of life, the word that was in Jesus Christ, the law of the spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. But what the law could not do through the weakness of the flesh, what the Ten Commandments could not do, because we were already fallen and shaped and born in sin and shaped in iniquity, hallelujah. God sent forth his Son, made in the likeness of sinful man, and redeemed our life from that destruction. Good God of mine. That's how God broke the law of sin and death. By coming himself, man, and redeeming our life from that destruction. But that ain't the goal. That's the means to the goal. Why? So that you can be restored back to the tree of life. So that you can come on back into the Garden of Eden and eat off the tree of life. See, what we've been eating off, even in the wilderness, the law, the tree of good and evil. Well, we talk about the good and evil in the world, but that's another tree that God had man provide for us to eat off. And that's the tree of life. What? To eat off what God said, man, from the beginning. That's why in 1 John, man, John wrote, you say, hey, listen, what we declare of you is that which we have seen. Talking about Jesus. We heard him. We handled him. Our hands touched him. What? Of the word of life. See, a lot of the word that God spoke to the children, his children, after they was in the wilderness, that wasn't his perfect will. That was his permissive will. And his permissive will so that man, God, can continue, man, to dwell among his people. Because he had made a promise to him. He said, I ain't never going to leave you. I ain't never going to forsake you. I'm going to always be around you. But that's not my best for your life, is to be around you. My best for your life, that's a good thing for him to be around us and never leaving us and never forsook us, just like he was throughout the Old Testament. He was always around them. That's why he told them, build me a tabernacle. Build me a place so that I could tabernacle among y'all, so that I could dwell among y'all. But that's his permissive will. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, he wasn't just around them and among them. He was on the inside of us. Glory to God. See, one thing for him to be around us and among us, but for him to be on the inside of us, that's a greater thing. And boy, everything that he was doing through the Old Testament, men and being among them and around them, all was a means to one end. What? So he could get back to man his original abode with us. He was living on the inside of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When he was walking and talking with them, he wasn't walking and talking with them from afar. He was on the inside of them. Glory to God. And boy, when they sin and rebel against him, a holy God and a holy spirit, they live in no unholy vessel. So they left. They were no longer in them, but he never left them. He never forsook them. So all the things that he started talking to them then, man, and after Genesis chapter 3, wasn't his perfect will no more. That was his permissive will. All means to an end. What? Tell God when the day will come, well, he will fulfill the promise that he made him. He made him a promise, man, when they fell. He said, listen, I ain't going to never leave you, and I ain't going to never forsake you. But in one of these days, I'm going to come to this earth, man, and I'm going to not only redeem your life from this destruction. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to restore back to you the original place that we had. When you were walking and talking with me in the cool of the day and put you back on course to your mandate, your assignment. Your purpose for you being on the earth. And what's that again? To make it on earth just like it is in hell. I'm a man restore you back to that kind of relationship. Not a religious relationship. Where you trying to do everything, man, from the wilderness to get to heaven. I'm going to restore you to a relationship where, man, you start living your life not from the wilderness, but from that secret place. So everything that you're doing is not, man, to get you to heaven. But everything that you're doing is because you are already in him. Hallelujah. You know, but listen, most believers, man, try to get to a place that, man, has been restored back to us. Listen, God wants you to keep the law and obey the law and live right, man, not so that you can get to heaven, but because, man, you are in heaven. You have been restored back to heaven. Most believers trying to live right, man, and think that they live right, they're going to make it to heaven. That would get them to heaven. That's backward. That's wrong. You're supposed to be living right because you're already in heaven. You don't live right to get to heaven. You live right because you are in heaven. Heaven been restored back to you, and you live the way you're supposed to live. If you're trying to live that, man, to get to heaven, then you're going to miss that tomorrow. You're going to wander around in the wilderness for all your life, man. That don't mean that you won't be saved. But entering into all your inheritance and partaking of all your blessings and living in full coverage insurance, like we were talking about a little bit last week, you're going to be living, man, from liability. All you're going to have in your life is liability. And your life going to be protected, man. God going to see to it, man, that you make it to heaven and everything else. But for the full coverage, the restoration, man, of not only, man, you know, God's property, but, man, our property too. See, most believers, man, just have liability. But, boy, God is raising up an army of believers in our day and time and know, man, that not only is liability available to us, not only is salvation available to us, but that's liability. But restoration is available to us, too. That's full coverage. And here's the good news about it, man. Why just take, man, liability, man, and be saved, man, but live like hell on earth when all the time full coverage is available to us, man? And here's the good news about it. The policies are paid in full, the liability and the full coverage. Didn't you sing the song, Jesus paid it all? But you don't have no understanding what he paid it all for. He just paid it all for you to be saved, and that's it, man, and wandering around in the wilderness for all your life. He provided me. He paid for full coverage, too, so that you could have restored back to you. Listen, if, like we said last week, if you just got liability and you get in a wreck with your car, it's going to take care of the other person's car, but your car going to be gone, lost. Same way, man, you know, a lot of believers got the liability insurance, man, and they're going to die, go to hell. But, man, let me tell you something, man, all they in hell, all they, oh, Lord. They just got liability. God's property going to be restored. But your property going to keep on going like it's going on, like it is here already. You're going to keep on being on earth like it is here now. When, boy, full coverage is available, why? So that you can have restored back to you, man, your vehicle, too. Not only the other person's vehicle. See, listen, you are also the vehicle of the Lord Jesus Christ. You his vehicle. So his vehicle is going to be preserved. But your vehicle, yourself, your will, your intent, your purpose, your destiny, that'll be lost. And you'll live your life, man, on this earth, man, unfulfilled. Going through hell while you're here on this earth, when all the time heaven is available to you. So what I got to do, Arthur, why not take the full coverage? Why not take that policy, especially since both of them are paid in full? That's what Jesus Christ died up on the cross for you, not for you to just have liability, but for you to have full coverage, too. The policy is paid. You ain't got to pay it. All you got to do is live in it, live in the benefits of it. Now, if you live in the benefits of it, you don't just go out there and drive recklessly. You drive right. You obey the laws, man. You obey the stop sign. You obey the red light. You obey the laws, man, of travel and everything else. Why? So it'll protect, man, your life and other people's life, too. Same way in the kingdom of God, man, you got to live according to the law that God, man, put up on this earth for us to live by. And that's the law of life, man. You got to get back to the word of God and the original word of God and start living your life from there. What you mean? Start living your life, man, like what God say you are. What? He say you just like him. So why not start acting like it, talking like it, walking like it, being like it, living like it? Watch this. Line up on line, precept upon precept. You don't accomplish that overnight. That become a way of life. Little by little by little. What my pastor over there in Houston, man, told us, preached a message to us, boy, 25, 30 years ago. Say, man, listen, that's a going on in God. And, boy, that's been, man, that's been the launching path of my ministry and my life ever since then, man. But that when I came into the kingdom of God, boy, I was just a little bitty baby. But there's a going on from babyhood to adulthood. And I started going from glory to glory to glory, to my next, to my next, to my next, going higher and higher and higher. And just like Paul said, I haven't reached that mark yet. But one thing I do, boy, I keep on going on in God. I keep on going to my next, to my next. I keep on going higher and higher and higher until I reach the fullness of a stature of Christ. I have not apprehended that yet, but I keep on keeping on, glory to God. It's the same way in the kingdom of God, man. We keep on growing, man. That don't happen to us overnight. Listen, you might not get your healing overnight. But boy, you keep on, man, sowing the seeds of God's healing word into your life, hallelujah, and planting it in your life and maintaining that, man, and continuing that. As you keep on, man, walking out of darkness into the marvelous light, if you keep on practicing, man, living righteous, man, or you might fall sometime, but boy, get back up and keep on practicing living righteous and holiness, man. And every time you fall, get back up, glory to God. And stay, man, I'm talking about on the path that God has for your life. Maintain your confession of faith, man. Fall and get back up. We fall down, but we get up, glory to God. And, boy, we keep on pressing toward the mark. We don't know everything, but we keep on growing. We keep on learning, hallelujah. We don't know how to walk, man, like we're supposed to walk, but we keep on, man, walking, man, and we keep on talking. We don't know how to talk like we're supposed to talk, but we keep on walking. We keep on talking. We don't know how to live like we're supposed to live, but we keep on keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. As long as we keep on keeping on, then, boy, one day we're going to reach the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus as we operate according to them laws. We keep on loving, man, one another, man. We keep on forgiving each other of our faults and mistakes, hallelujah. We keep on, man, holding fast to the exceeding great and precious promises of God. We keep on, man, walking by faith and growing and studying the word of God and hearing the word of God so that our faith can continuously be developed and developed and developed to where it's stronger and stronger and stronger. We keep on, man, walking in the perfect law of liberty, man, knowing that, boy, the Son has set us free, and who he set free is free indeed, boy. We just keep on what? Growing in the kingdom of God. We keep on going. We keep on operating according to the law of life. We keep on operating, man, according to the law of sowing and reaping. We keep on speaking God's promises over our life. We keep on speaking the word of God over our circumstance, situation, and symptom. We keep on, man, walking out of darkness into the marvelous light, man. We keep on, glory to God. We keep on keeping on. We keep it on, man, knowing that, boy, I'm talking about every trap that the devil has set for our lives, man. Jesus Christ has sprung the trap, and all we got to do is keep on taking our foot out of those traps, man, and walking on into the liberty where which Christ has set us free, hallelujah. Not using that liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but using that liberty to walk in the reality of what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. To keep on growing in the knowledge, boy, that the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death, glory to God. To keep on keeping on, man, operating in those laws. What those laws again? The law of life that's in the word of God, hallelujah, that we partake of and eat of every day, hallelujah, the bread of life. What's the law? The law of sowing and reaping. What's that? Speaking God's word over our lives, hallelujah, and continuously in and not being getting weary in way of doing, knowing that in due season, man, we're going to reap if we don't faint, hallelujah. Keep on, man, walking in the perfect law of liberty, knowing that it ain't a trap that the devil has set for us, that no weapon formed against us will ever be able to prosper. Why? Because we're free to walk in liberty, and we're not using our liberty as an occasion to the flesh. To keep on, man, walking in the royal law of the kingdom, the law of love, loving our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul, and loving our neighbor, anybody that's nearby, loving mankind in the same way. To keep on holding fast to the exceeding great and precious promises of the Most High God, knowing that he's not slack concerning his promises. If he said it, he's going to do it, hallelujah. If he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. Keep on living, man, this life, man, how? By faith, hallelujah. Knowing that without faith it's impossible to please God. Why? Because it's through faith that we obtain, man, all the blessings of God. It's through faith. It's grace that we save through faith. Hallelujah. Keep on, man, living according to those laws. What they are again? The law of life. Hallelujah. The law of sowing and reaping. The perfect law of liberty. The law of love. The law of the promises of God. And the law of faith. And knowing that that other law that's in the kingdom, the law of sin and death, where he told them don't eat off that tree or you'll surely die, knowing that, boy, the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set us free from that law of sin and death, glory to God. Knowing that, boy, no weapon that's formed against us through the breaking of that law can stop us, man, from fulfilling God's perfect plan and destiny and purpose for our lives as we begin to learn these laws and learn how to live according to those laws. Thank God for the law that he gave Moses. But I'm talking about the law that he gave, man, Adam. And in Adam, he was talking about everybody, the original laws of God. What they are? The law of life that's in Christ Jesus. The perfect law of liberty. The law of sin and death. The law of sowing and reaping. The law of love. The law of the promises of God. And the law of faith. the just shall live by faith. Listen, my wife, Gail, and I, we love y'all with the love of the Lord. Our contact number in ministry is Kingdom Life Fellowship Ministry. Our contact number is 713-870-3776. If we could be of any further help to you in helping you develop your kingdom life and your walk in the kingdom of God as we are doing, we ain't rest tomorrow yet, but boy, we are growing in it, and we're going to our next, and we want y'all to go with us. Well, somebody say, where you going, Brother Arthur? Back into the presence of the Most High God. Back into the kingdom of heaven. Back into God's original intent and plan and purpose and destiny for our life. Listen, we love you, and we pray God's best for your life. And not only his